Associated Bodywork and Massage Professionals, ABMP, is proud to sponsor the interdisciplinary podcast from HealWell. Massage therapists and body workers who choose ABMP membership get much more than comprehensive liability insurance to protect from lawsuits, including our members-only Pocket Pathology and 5-Minute Muscles apps. Putting muscle-specific technique videos and helpful information at your fingertips, 5-Minute Muscles has been updated with more than 80 cadaver dissection videos from Dr. Joe Muscolino to provide an even more in-depth understanding. Join ABMP to see for yourself why our members expect more and get more from their association.
Welcome to Season 11 of Interdisciplinary. I am Corey Rivera, here with my co-host, Cal Cates, and we are discussing the sustainability of massage. But before we do that, we have wonderful classes coming up for you. We have an in-person oncology massage class in Oak Park, August 11th through 13th. We have one in Fairfax, Virginia, September 22nd through the 24th. We have our second brand new, I guess not as brand new, SCAR class running in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, September 16th through 17th. Seriously, people, don't miss it. It's amazing. And new in the community, we have started a journal club. This is something I've been avoiding for a while now, and I finally gave in because everybody asked. So we've had our first meeting. It was fabulous. If you'd like to join, it's 2 articles per meeting. If you try to get through them, I love you. If you don't get through them, it's okay. We'll talk about it. It's just
fine.
We'll
still love you.
We'll still love you, and we'll work through it together. It'll be great. Our next meeting is June 22nd at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can find us at community.healwell.org. We'd love to have you. It's a good time. Lots of chatting. Before I introduce our extra special guest today, Cal Cates is going to give us what Cal has promised to be an extraordinary pun. Now that the pressure's on, Cal, it's on you.
The pressure is on. I also, I feel like I owe whoever's been listening for a long time an apology, because sometimes what we do in this time is more wordplay than officially a pun, which was pointed out to me by another word geek recently. And I just want to let you know that I'm aware that I've let you down if you're really into puns, and I didn't mean to just, you know, like sell you the goods. So I'm going to really reel it in and try to stick to puns as they are strictly defined moving forward. So you're welcome, and I'm sorry. So yeah, so, you know, leading up to payday, my cupboards get a little bare. So I had to steal from the next door neighbor's herb garden. I'm living on borrowed time. I mean, right? It's a pun. It's good.
It's in the strictest definition of the term good.
Indeed.
Sure.
Yes.
If you'd like.
Ahem.
So now our guest today, special guest, would you please introduce yourself now that I'm putting you on the spot?
Yeah, my name is Matt Smith. I'm a massage therapist here in the Bay Area. I've been at it for, I guess, about 3 years post-schooling. I think I found you all by, like, you know, looking at one of the massage kind of magazines, and I saw some articles, you know, columns in there written by this Cal Cates person, and I was like, who is this person that I think they're just like writing out here for everybody to, you know, learn how the world should work? And I'm like, so I just kind of, like, you know, dug in a little deeper, saw the name, got connected to the podcast, and here I am.
Awesome. We're so glad that all those things happened. And I'm glad that you understand that with my column, I am basically trying to tell people this is how the world should be.
Yeah.
So Matt, we invited you here today because we're really curious about your journey as a human, and also certainly about the places where massage therapy has intersected that. But you have, you're a grown person.
Yeah.
you were doing other things before you found your way to massage school. A preliminary peek at your LinkedIn profile and other places where I could find you on the interwebs says that you've done some interesting things. And I would not deign to suggest which of those is most interesting to you. But like, so you leave your childhood home and you head out into the world, and what happened next?
Oh, so many things. in leaving my childhood home and going to college, I had it kind of in my heart and brain that I was going to be a teacher for the rest of my life. And kind of reflecting back on it, I've realized that I think where that basically came from was just a desire to help people, right? And so I was in high school, I was good at school. And so I was always like helping my classmates with their homework. And I was like tutoring after school with like middle schoolers or whatever. And so just like, I had so many volunteer hours. And, as a student, you look around every day and like, who do you see helping people? Teachers. And I was like, okay, like they do that. I'm good at this whole schooling thing. So I went to school I went to undergrad to be a teacher, got certified to teach. Got a master's in education as well, taught for a few years, realized that, my ability to like inspire little young minds and have them all love algebra and, be everything they could be, wasn't so easy. for different reasons. Sure. One's like work-life balance. I think the main thing that I've come to realize too is like having a kind of boss person who, kind of tells me how things should be and, has these expectations that may not be realistic. And like that kind of being in that position is a struggle sometimes for me. and so, that's what a principal is. And, it wasn't fun. I thought like, okay, what else could I do? And I liked working with food, kind of being creative with food. And as a vegan, I was kind of in that, in the Bay Area, there's this woman, she was like a kind of local celebrity in the vegan scene doing artisanal vegan cheese at the time. And so I got connected to her and helped her start her company to make vegan cheese. That I never necessarily really thought that was going to be like my career for life, because I also at that time knew that I wasn't like a business guy, like living in the corporate world and like being a manager, speaking of the whole like being uncomfortable with telling people what to do, like being at that kind of like manager person. And I was a kind of co-production manager and quality control manager there. And that also wasn't, that wasn't going to work forever. and so I got into massage. And I don't know. I'm kind of rambling. I don't know.
So this, I love how you're like, well, and so then I got into massage. Like, yeah. Duh, that's the next thing.
Jeez, absolutely.
I have to ask, which cheese person did you work with?
Miyoko Shinner.
What, you shut up, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I have like a poster of Miyoko over my bed because I love her and her cheese so much.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
I actually have a question.
Okay.
I don't know who Miyoko is. I also don't know what is in artisanal cheese, and I would like to.
Okay. Yeah. So basically it was, at the time specifically, it was, cashew based. And so we took kind of, traditional cheese making techniques and just used a cashew milk base instead of a dairy one. So, we put cashews and water together, basically, inoculated them. They, some of them were kind of fresh cheeses. Some of them were aged. They were coated in different things. Kind of a traditional cheese making process.
So how'd you go from cashews to rubbing people?
Yeah. So, you know, I somewhat dread this question, but I've been asked it enough times by, you know, clients that it's like I've kind of got an answer now, right? Where, you know, yeah, it was kind of a, as you pointed out, an interesting transition. But I think the key part of it is just going back to helping people, right? So like, I think this is like giving me back into that being of service, wanting to help people kind of thing. And, you know, it's easy to do that one-on-one versus one-on-30. I don't have a principal over me telling me, you know, that the test scores need to be getting up, mm-hmm. or, you know, and like calling parents and, you know, trying to like, so like all of those things don't really exist here. And I get to kind of have that kind of direct impact. Yeah. I mean, I also at the time, it's so weird because, you know, this is the part where it's like, how do I answer this question? But I think I started going to massage school. And so I went in summer of 2018. And earlier that year, this part is like a little fuzzy. I like somehow started looking up massage schools in the area. So for some reason, it was interesting. You know, like, I don't know, like what I saw, like I saw a billboard, like, I don't know how, but like, I kind of like, was like, oh, like I was thinking about maybe what else would I do? Could I do something kind of part-time or like start learning something, you know, in the evenings or on the weekends or something. And so I reached out to the local school and tried to get some information from them. I obviously got on their like, you know, text, email, call list, you know, every other day. And like, I got, you know, pelted with those and I was just like, all right, you know, like, I know you all exist. Like when I'm ready, I'll reach back out. You know, this isn't working at the time. Like maybe later out, my schedule will be different. So eventually I got off that list. And so it was like months of silence from them. And then randomly I get a call or like on a Sunday or a text or something or whatever. And I was just like, these guys again, you know, like I thought they learned. So that was like on a Sunday and they were saying, hey, like, you know, we have like a new, you know, new cohort starting on Thursday, like come in, like, you know, try the first week free or whatever. And I was like, okay, whatever. That Tuesday, I'm fired. And on the way home, like 10 minutes into the drive home, I'm like, oh, you know what? I just got that call about there being a new massage class starting. Like, let me just do that, you know? So I started like that Thursday. I, you know, just walked in and was like, all right, like, let's see how this works. And I was hooked.
Wow. So how long was your program and like, how was it structured?
It was, there was kind of a core program that was 10 months long. Was split into two halves. There was an Eastern half and a Western half. I started in on the Eastern half, though it was mostly based in Shiatsu. But they also did like Thai and like traditional Chinese medicine, learned some kind of basics of that. They also split it where, so they have these two halves. And so there were juniors who were the people who were first coming in and then seniors who were, had already been there for that first kind of semester, quote unquote, right? And so, yeah, so we came in, so that, and you know, looking back on it, I think that was, that's a really good way of kind of structuring it, of having people, like where half the class is people who've been there for a while, so they can, you know, help the new people figure out how to, you know, put their sheets on the table and, you know, explain some terms and like, you know, how to figure out how to get onto their, you know, online portal for whatever, you know, like having that kind of a, you know, kind of a semi-mentor class there. And yeah, so I did that. So the started in the West, went to the East, graduated, but then actually stayed right at the school and did another 6 or 7 months of a advanced neuromuscular therapy program there. And so that's kind of how I got into more myofascial trigger point work that I kind of mostly base my work around now.
Okay. So when you say you've been sort of at it for 3 years since schooling, is that post neuromuscular or post the, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I graduated from that going into the working world in January of 2020.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
Womp womp.
Yeah. I started at a athletic club, locally here in like February. Or like maybe right there, like February. And so I was like there for a month. And then I also was interviewing at a couple of other places too. And when I was at still am at a chiropractor's office in Berkeley, my first day there was March 1st. And yeah, I was there for, I mean, and I was, you know, I was paying attention to the news and I kind of knew that this thing was going on, but it was like,
well, yeah, nobody expected.
It's not going to come
like,
here.
We'll see what happens. And
yeah.
So I was there for 2 weeks and it was like, all right, well, maybe we'll see each other again. Maybe, you know, we're all going to die. Like, I don't know, but
yeah.
maybe I'll come back. Who knows? Yeah. So we took a break. The massage half of the practice was on, took a break for until like maybe August or so, I think it was, of 2020. And then we restarted there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what'd you do? What did you, Matt Smith, do in that interim time?
I got really well acquainted with all of the like hiking trails in the East Bay.
Nice.
And around the Bay, basically, just kind of every day, you know, staying in my apartment and then at some point realizing, okay, I'm going to go outside and go on a hike and then come back and grab some groceries on the way in and, you know, eat and do the same thing the next day, basically.
Yeah. Did you have, during that time, did you think like, maybe massage isn't what I'm going to do? Like, did you think about like, oh, maybe I need to like change direction? Or were you just like, no, this is like, I landed in the right spot. I just have to, you know, leave this whole pandemic thing to blow over.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I was ready to wait.
Yeah.
There weren't any kind of like financial pressures necessarily or like other things where I had to like go back to my family on the East Coast or something and like switch things up like that. So yeah, I felt pretty confident that, you know, like kind of, I mean, once it was kind of clear that like, yes, we were all not going to die and like in a zombie apocalypse or something, that, you know, it's like things will eventually kind of go back to the way they were in some modified way. And then eventually probably the way they always were.
Sadly.
Yeah. And so just kind of stuck with it.
So a lot of the people we tend to talk to have been in this business for a while, like 10-ish years a while. I am super curious how you feel about this business. Because I think everybody comes in with an impression and then they get there and they're like, this is not quite what I thought it was going to be. But I think it's different for everybody.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think my kind of initial kind of going into it with certain stereotypes or expectations was, you know, going into school, I was like, I do not want to be like rubbing people down with lotions and oils and like doing this like spa stuff. Like it's going to be like soft and like the music's going to get on my nerves or something. Or like, I don't know. Like I was like, you know, like, I was just like, that part wasn't going to be my favorite, I thought. And so in that way, I was glad that I started with the shiatsu, just as like a different way of kind of jumping in, right? But once I got to the Western half, actually, I did actually really like it. And I also like to dance. And I realized like, oh, like part of that style or, you know, application is like a rhythm and like having like, you know, like you're taught this like sequence, right? This 55-minute sequence or whatever. And it's like, there's a pace and there's the moves and then you do this and there's the rhythm and you go back and forth and, you know, and like you get somebody to feel really relaxed and actually like have much more respect for that kind of work. But yeah, so that I've, at this point now, I kind of, at the chiropractic place, I do a mix of, most people there are taking their clothes off to some degree and I'm using emollients. I also work at a clinic in San Francisco that kind of strictly just does clothes on work with the myofascial trigger point work. Is there like a more detailed specific question you'd ask around kind of what I thought about that? Or,
well, we tend to be interested in the massage profession and its foibles around these parts.
Yeah.
And you're in the community now, so you see some of our concerns, I guess, about such things. So as a person who's still kind of new-ish, I guess.
Licensing, credentialing, like what do you think about the behavior of like
education as an education person?
Associations, education, yeah. Like
you can always take it back, remember.
That's right.
You can also like choose not to answer.
It's okay. No. Yeah, no.
We're not a hard-hitting podcast.
We're not going to Diane Ream you. Okay. But you didn't answer the question.
Yeah, so I think it's, you know, for me, not that bad, I guess. I've done some continuing education stuff. It's been mostly at this point, I think it's all been online. I've been trying to get to some conferences and some in-person stuff. I'm kind of looking forward to that at some point. I don't know, AMTA, God bless them, but my California chapter is, I just get, you know, regular emails about, you know, try this course, do that course. We have a conference coming up, and I was trying to actually go to the one that just passed in April, I think it was. But I wasn't able to get to that. But they're doing their job, I guess. I'm mostly staying away from it. I send in my money and get my certificate renewed, and yeah, that's them. That's me.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty typical. I don't think a lot of people are really thinking about or worrying about what, you know, I mean, I wonder actually if it mirrors sort of the general citizenry engagement with politics. Mm. And if, you know, like the percent of massage therapists who know what CompTIA and FSMTB and all the different organizations are up to, I imagine it's somewhat similar to the number of people who could tell you like who their state legislators are or, you know, that kind of stuff. Because if things are going okay, you don't notice or worry about it or whatever. You're like, well, it's not broke. I'm going to work. I'm getting paid. Like, I get to help people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it sounds like you work in a couple of different environments. So you work at a chiropractic clinic. Mm-hmm. And then tell us about like the close-on clinic. Is it like for anybody? Is it geared towards specific populations?
Yeah. So the way it's run is there's most of the clients who are coming through actually are workers' compensation referrals. And so we get folks in who, you know, we get the referral from the doctor. They get an authorization for 6 or 8 sessions at a time. We'll see them kind of once a week, typically. Sometimes those authorizations are reauthorized, and we see them for up to, I think it's 24 times a year. Some people do come in with self-pay, and we'll do it that way. They get referred by a friend or something, or they somehow find us online. We don't have a really big online footprint. So I see 3, 4, 5, 6 people a day. Maybe it kind of depends on the schedule. I work there 2 days a week. I'm at the chiropractor's office 3 days a week. There I see 2, 3, 4 maybe people a day, depending on the length of the sessions that they're coming in for.
And in the category of questions you don't have to answer, like, do you get tips at any of those locations? And sort of when you look at, I could do this for the next 20 years or whatever, like, are the ends meeting? How do they meet? If you do get tips, if you didn't get tips, would the ends meet? Like, what's that whole picture look like?
Yeah, I do get tips at the chiropractor's office fairly regularly. I would say we actually kind of recently just increased prices a little bit for the sessions. And I think maybe I've seen like a little bit of a decrease in the tips because of that. I don't know that that was really something that the owner thought of, but the increase in prices doesn't outweigh the tips that would have been coming in otherwise. So I'd say it's maybe like 50-50 there in terms of the amount of times I get tips. At the myofascial clinic in San Francisco, there I don't. Like, sometimes there so especially the self-pay people, mm-hmm. sometimes they'll give tips. You know, other times I get kind of like gifts from like the like old woman who like really is really like appreciative, and like the I had this like kind of older Chinese woman who like didn't speak English, but she was like really thankful that I was like working on her, and she brought in like a bag of like chips, like little like snack bag chips that she like wanted to give me, and I was like, okay, you know, all right. Thank you. That's I'll take that. Give it out to folks. But yeah, the money wise, yeah, I think it I'm covered. I don't have kids. Mm-hmm. I don't travel the world. So the amount that I make as my pay and with tips covers me, single guy, even in the Bay Area.
I was going to say, yeah, you definitely picked an expensive zip code.
Yeah. I mean, I live with other people, so my rent's only like $800 a month.
Okay.
I suppose that maybe $1,200, $1,800 that it might be if I was living by myself.
Yeah.
Different places. So it's that helps.
Yeah. And is that, I mean, I guess I like, I don't want to lead the witness, but like, would you live with other people if you didn't have to? Like, do you live with other people so that your rent can be more affordable or?
I was living by myself before for a couple of years, the first couple of years of working, and was still getting by then. Now I just kind of have more money to spend on to go on vacations if I wanted to. Yeah, you know, I don't spend a lot of money on clothes or like gadgets and stuff like that. So it was enough for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think one of the overarching things we're curious about is, you know, massage therapists say, yeah, like this is a great job. The ends meet, whatever. And we're curious about the things that people just decide they don't need, or sort of because you already live simply, this is a good career. Like, what are the things mm-hmm. that like, if we took somebody from a higher paying career and said, make the ends meet as a massage therapist, would they go,
Yeah. I mean, I think that would be difficult. I imagine that would be the case. You know, I also am working at places where basically I'm getting like $50 to $60 an hour. Mm-hmm. That's maybe not the case for many folks I know who are not working at the places that I'm at. So yeah, and then for some of those cases, you know, tips on top of that. But
and are you an employee or a contractor?
I'm an employee
at both places. Okay. Oh, both places. Okay. Yeah. Corey.
You don't believe me?
That's impressive.
It's impressive and surprising, I think, that you work at two different places.
I think it also helps you came from education. So mm-hmm. you weren't exactly living the high life before.
Yeah, true. Yeah, teachers are right up there with massage therapists in terms of low pay and long hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you anticipate, I mean, obviously you didn't anticipate losing the job that led to, oh, I can start massage school on Thursday, but all things, you know, barring the unforeseen, is this your job now until you quote retire?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's nothing that I, you know, have my eyes on necessarily as something else, like, ooh, like this is just in the meantime. Mm-hmm. I imagine that there's, you know, kind of ways to expand or grow or do other things. I think in general, maybe kind of looking at other positions or ways to have an impact in healthcare are interesting to me. Mm-hmm. You know, like potentially, like yes, I like go become a nurse or like nurse practitioner mm-hmm. or something like that. I don't know, mm-hmm. but
yeah.
Probably at this point, I'm not going to be a doctor.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah. And I've it's interesting. You know, one of the things that I actually kind of love about massage is like you get all kinds of people, maybe not all kinds, but a wide variety of people on your table. And yeah, you know, it's like I can do a little quick, you know, interview on different people's professions and seeing what it's like. And, you know, yeah, I do actually remember asking somebody like, yeah, like when did you start becoming a nurse or a doctor? And they're like, yeah, I was in my 30s or 40s. And I was like, okay, I still could do that, I guess, if I wanted
That's
to.
That's right. The ship has not sailed.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Bay Area is a decent representation or if this is even something that you would have noticed, but what was the diversity like in your class that you went through massage school with? Like, was it diverse? Was it a lot of white people?
It was very diverse, I would say. You know, it was diverse racially, Black, white, Asian, Latino folks in there. To me, I guess I didn't realize before, like, age-wise. I was maybe kind of middle older of the pack. You know, I know there was one woman in my cohort who was like 51, maybe another woman who was like early 60s, maybe even. I remember in one of the first classes, we were in a classroom doing like an anatomy class or something, and we were on a break, and I like turned to the young woman next to me, and you know, we're still getting to know each other, and I was like, you know, where are you coming from, you know, what's your deal? And she was like, yeah, I just graduated. And I was like, okay, like, graduated what? And she was like, graduated high school, like, you know, she like just graduated from high school like a month and a half ago or something.
Wow.
from out of state, moved in to go to this school, you know, like after high school. And I was like, all right, cool, you know, like,
yeah.
So yeah, we kind of had all kinds. There was a fair number of veterans in there. Yeah, people kind of first career, second career, third career. Yeah, it was a mix.
Yeah.
I you know, and I appreciated that. I think, yeah, maybe if there was, you know, a bunch of white people or a bunch of middle class, upper middle class folks, or would not have been as bearable. I mean, I love people, but yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything that, like, now that you've been out for a bit doing this work, that you maybe didn't fully imagine what it would be like, that you wish somebody, like, somewhere along your path through massage school or whatever, would have told you, that you've sort of learned by accident, you're like, that would have been great to know?
Yeah, I think one thing that maybe I didn't realize kind of going into it was how much of the kind of quote unquote soft skills are a part of it, or at least for me in the work that in the kind of environments that I'm in terms of just like, you have to deal with people, you know. In my work, I'm not coming into the room, a person's like on the table already, maybe face down. I know what, you know, they've selected, you know, what moves I should do, and then, you know,
just do them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, people are coming in, I need to not hear their whole life story, but at least like the last 6 months, year, to figure out like, how did you get injured? Like, you're a bus driver who's now like cleaning the buses because you can't drive the buses, and you still want to be able to work. And so now you're trying to clean the buses, but like, even that's too much. And like, how are you injured? You know, it's just like, I have to get all this information from you so I can maybe help figure out, one, like, just in terms of the physiology, like what's going on, like what muscles might be implicated. But then also, yeah, just like, where are you at in life? Are you still working? You're not working. Okay, maybe that's adding to your stress levels. Yes, that's why your back is a solid rock, you know, like, so just being able to kind of deal with people. Yeah, I mean, you know, I kind of already maybe had that with the teaching, right? Of like being able to manage a situation, or like understand that like people are whole people. They're not just like an algebra student. You know,
right.
So yeah, so I think that's probably maybe one of the big ones of, you know, I don't know that that's so emphasized in school. I mean, it was, I mean, it's spoken to, but it's
right.
It's often, I think, maybe more around kind of like ethical boundaries, or like not having, you know, transference, or that kind of a thing.
Yeah, like our buzzwords.
I was gonna say, and those words get tossed out, and most of the people leave the room going, I know that's bad. I don't exactly know what it is, but I shouldn't do it.
I don't know how to stop it, but
right. Yeah. And I want to tell you, listeners, that we did not ask Matt to say that soft skills get short shrift in massage school. That was entirely
Matt's
doing.
It was not a plan.
But, you know, like I think about this person who just came out of high school, and that if those skills aren't, like, she's not going to probably bring that from some other experience in her life. Right. And like, yeah, I think there is a good bit that's just sort of left to like, well, you were humaning before you got here, so we're going to teach you how to massage and then you just do the rest.
Yeah.
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 What's your favorite thing about being a massage therapist?
I mean, I guess it is the kind of like, you do get to help people kind of thing. You know, seeing, especially with the work that I do in the clinic in the city, of like, I get to see somebody hopefully improve, change, things change over time, you know, see them over the course of a month and a half, 2 months, 3 months. And seeing that difference, I think that's probably maybe the main thing. I do also like the kind of mostly independent work that I get to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
What's your least favorite thing about being a massage therapist?
Least favorite thing. I think maybe how sometimes there's folks aren't like sure what to expect, or they do expect something and I'm not doing that. And so kind of just meeting, like having expectations be met and understood on both sides, that sometimes can be tricky or sticky, or doesn't go well, maybe.
Is there something that's like commonly misunderstood or guessed?
Maybe, I don't know if it's the most, but, or maybe I'm just kind of getting it more recently. I don't know, if just like people who are kind of like, oh, I'm just gonna like come in this one time and you're gonna like fix things. And, you know, I kind of am not that person who wants to, you know, crush their spirit and be like, yeah, it's not gonna happen, you know, most likely.
Yeah.
90% of the time. But like, let's talk about like what is going on and like how like you can do some self-treatment or like make some other changes in your exercise habits that won't get your back to be like so tight all the time because you're constantly on a bike and, you know, in front of a computer, and you need some more like thoracic mobility, and, you know, yeah, that's probably it. It's just like not maybe having that, kind of feel like you have that space to have conversations outside of the rubbing.
Yeah. Yeah. Does laundry fall anywhere in this continuum, or are you in the enviable position that you don't have to do your laundry?
Well, yeah, unfortunately it's halfway in there. So yeah, at the Berkeley place, I do my own laundry.
Okay.
And yeah, see, now that you mention it, that would be a thing. if I could change something. Yeah, that it's, you know, but it's also interesting because at first I, especially coming back out from, or, you know, after the shutdown was over and people were coming back in, like I didn't have like a very full schedule, so it wasn't like that bad. But then when you're like doing laundry every other day, maybe, because your schedule is full, then, you know, it takes up some time.
It's also less time to do it.
Yeah, definitely. Corey, do you have any other burning questions
for Matt Smith? I do, actually. So,
I thought you might.
In your general patina of experiences, which is pretty great, what's the most important thing that you think you've learned with all of your various activities?
Just in terms of like all the different jobs, or within massage?
Life in general.
General life lessons from Matt. Is that where we're going? Mm-hmm. I guess one thing would be how, you know, I I've benefited from a kind of perspective of, I don't know, like just kind of like flexibility around life, you know, like things change, jobs change, who you're in relationships with change, the relationships that you have with those people who are around because they're your parents or your siblings, those relationships change, right? Like there's just the possibility for so much to be different, and you know, got to be able to deal with that, you know, got to find ways to deal with difference, and yeah. I think it's interesting. A couple of weeks ago, I was in a virtual kind of career day thing with one of the local high schools. And so I got to, you know, have a bunch of high schoolers interact with me again, at least virtually this time. And they're asking me about my job and what it was like and things. And one of the things that I realized over being, you know, after being asked the same question a bunch of times was how, you know, there are these kind of transferable skills in life, right? And like that, you know, these are juniors or seniors in high school, they're like, oh, what should I be? And I kept telling them, like, you know whatever, not whatever you want, but like there's multiple things you can be, right? Like you are interested in, like, you know, managing systems, right? Or like you like to have like systematic thinking, like, you know, like that trait or that skill is applicable across a lot of different things, right? Or like you like helping people, okay, you can be a teacher, you can be a massage therapist, you know it's like there's all of these different things that you can do with your interests, your talents, so like don't feel like you have to kind of be stuck into you know, like you pick your one thing in high school or college and that's it, that you can do a variety of things.
That's an excellent answer. Thank you.
You're hired. If you were an animal, what animal would you be?
Oh man, no, yeah, I don't know. I really liked lemurs growing up, as like when I was in middle school or high school or something.
They're so cute. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to be one, but yeah.
True. I think they're kind of smelly.
Yeah, see, I didn't know that. So
see. I mean, maybe that's just because I associate them with the zoo, which is always a little smelly to me, but I bet they don't smell bad to lemurs.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
there you go.
There's that.
Or when they have all of Madagascar to run around in.
That's true. That's right. Well, Matt Smith, thanks for wandering along this path with us. We just really want to get a sense of like what's going on out there for people doing massage therapy and, you know, how does reality match up to what they imagined might happen and what might lie in the future? And we covered a lot of ground. So, Corey, any other last burning questions?
Not at this particular second, but perhaps later.
We reserve the right to call you at any time of the day or night, Matt, and find out. Yeah.
Okay. I'll be there.
Excellent.
Good thing you're on Pacific time. Anyway.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me. And it's I've enjoyed it.
Thanks. And thanks for coming to the HealWell community. I'm glad you're in there.
Thanks for having it.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Season 11 of Interdisciplinary. New episodes are available every Saturday on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. You can send us an email. Let us know what you think at podcast@healwell.org. We want to hear from you with your thoughts, your show ideas, pictures of your animals, whatever you'd like to send us. You can also support the show by leaving us a review. Wherever you listen to this podcast, your review with your words really helps us to get in front of more people and keep creating content for you. And you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/interdisciplinary. And when you support us on Patreon, you become a super secret squirrel and you get access to episodes of Interdisciplinary early and ad-free, along with super secret bonus material. That's patreon.com/interdisciplinary. If you want to learn with us in person, You can, or online. You can check out all of our classes at online.healwell.org. We have coming up oncology massage in Oak Park, Illinois, just outside Chicago, in August, in Fairfax, Virginia, in September. And we have our hospital massage therapy stewardship program, hospital-based massage, in Washington, D.C. in October. So check it out at online.healwell.org. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Interdisciplinary is produced by HealWell. Our theme music is by Harry Pickens. New episodes are available weekly through your favorite podcast outlet. And you can send us an email at podcast@healwell.org. That's podcast@healwell.org. Thanks for listening.